Jesus calls us, he calls each and every one of us to have a relationship with God. It doesn't matter who we are or what we think we may have done. He still calls us. And guess what? He never stops calling us. Please listen to the words of today's choral anthem, Jesus Calls Us Again. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day, his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. As of old, the apostles heard it by the Galilean lake, turned from home and toil and kindred, leaving all for Jesus' sake. Jesus calls us from worship, from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he calls in cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than these. Jesus calls us. By thy mercies, Savior, may we hear thy call. Give our hearts to thine obedience, serve and love thee best of all. We are being called to have an intimate relationship with God. God seeks each and every one of us out first. That's what John Wesley calls prevenient grace. Now, Reverend Bob Covick Campbell once said that some of us as Methodists seem to be tired of talking about prevenient grace. But for myself, coming from a different background of faith, I absolutely fell in love with the notion of prevenient grace. As defined in the United Methodist Book of Discipline, it is the divine love that surrounds all humanity and precedes any and all of our conscious impulses. This grace prompts our first wish to please God, our first glimmer of understanding concerning God's will, and our first slight transient conviction of having sinned against God. God's grace also awakens in us an earnest loving for deliverance from sin and death and moves us toward repentance and faith. Now, I know that's quite a mouthful. So personally, I love the way Adam Hamilton describes prevenient grace as God wooing and beckoning us to God before we even knew who God was. If we look at the word woo, it is defined as seek the favor, support, or custom of, and try to gain the love of someone. That's what God does and what Jesus does. They lovingly and tenderly call to us to be in a meaningful relationship with God. It doesn't stop at this juncture either. The second grace Wesley talks about is justifying grace or saving grace. Justifying grace is defined by Wesley as another word for pardon. It is the forgiveness of our sins and our acceptance with God. Justifying grace is the assurance of forgiveness that comes from repentance, from turning toward God's gracious gift of life in Jesus Christ. The Book of Discipline affirms, in justification, we are, through faith, forgiven our sin and restored to God's favor. This writing of relationships by God through Christ calls forth our faith and trust as we experience regeneration by which we are made new creatures in Christ. Faith is our trusting in Jesus Christ. It is trusting that his death was for us. Justification is often referred to as conversion. It is a change in how we view ourselves, others, and the world around us. It marks a new beginning in our lives. The final form of grace that Wesley talks about is sanctifying grace. It is the grace perfecting us to live our lives in the image of Jesus Christ. The Book of Discipline states, we hold that the wonder of God's acceptance and pardon does not end God's saving work, which continues to nurture our growth in grace. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are enabled to increase the knowledge and love of God and in love for our neighbor. In a book I read for my lay speaker classes, the author describes Wesley's beliefs. He states that justification is what God does for us, the forgiveness of sins and incorporation into a new community. Sanctification is what God does in us, holiness of life, the entire love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Justification launches the process of being conformed to the image of Christ. Sanctification is how those lives are lived today in a transformation from the things of the past. So let's break all of that down and simplify it. Prevenient grace is that initial calling, that beckoning, that wooing. It's the first time our curiosity was piqued about God, and we were led to go farther, to learn more, and to seek God back. Then saving grace, or justification, is when we choose to have that deep relationship with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. Sanctifying grace is when we live out the life that Jesus would have us live. It's when we strive to walk in his footsteps. That's where we are as a faith community. Jesus calls us. He calls each and every one of us individually. No matter who we are or what we think we may have done to cause us to fall short, he still calls. We all miss the mark, but he still calls. We can see so many of those examples in the Gospels when he calls to the unexpected ones, those who society at the time would call the undesirables, tax collectors, unclean people like those with leprosy or the hemorrhaging woman, the thief on the cross beside him, the Samaritans, Gentiles. We read how Jesus called his apostles. He called those who would be his disciples then, and now he still calls us. And he's not just calling to us as individuals, but to us as a faith community. We are called to be his disciples and to live our lives through his sanctifying grace. There's a list by the stairs that some members of the church discussed how we, as a faith community, are disciples. This is how we define being disciples of Jesus Christ. We learn, study, and follow the teachings of Jesus. We strive to embody kindness and compassion to others. We represent the church and the community. We pick others up when they have fallen. We invite others. Our actions strive to reflect generosity of spirit, giving time, talent, and treasures. This is also how this describes how this faith community demonstrates sanctifying grace. Jesus is calling us as a faith community right now as we go through several transitions in our own faith world. Of course, one of the biggest is how our United Methodist Church is making transitions through disaffiliations. There have been many churches who have been approved to disaffiliate from the United Methodist Church. Those churches who are more conservative or traditional and perhaps less inclusive have decided to split off from the United Methodist Church. There are also hopes of more transitions or changes when it comes to our general conference this year, and that some language in the Book of Discipline, which is harmful to some, will be approved to be removed. Our Upper New York State Annual Conference has approved the petition to remove the language that is damaging to our LGBTQ siblings and doesn't allow their marriage in our church, states that it doesn't condone their practices, and that being homosexual is incompatible with Christian teaching, penalizes clergy who would perform a same-sex marriage and does not allow an LGBTQ person to become certified as candidates, ordained as ministers, or appointed to serve in the United Methodist Church. Which means for someone who is feeling called to be an instrument of God by preaching his love as an LGBTQ person, we cannot stand in this pulpit. There are hopes, definitely hopes, for changes at this general conference this year, which I do plan on attending personally. Another transition that we are being called to recognize and work through is the possible merging of our church and our yoked sister church in Schuyler Lake. And last, but definitely not least, we are being called to the transition of receiving a new pastor this year. This is the time in which we are being called to be the disciples we described ourselves as. To welcome a new pastor into our midst is definitely something very new to me. I'm pretty sure there are plenty of people here who have gone through this before, and I pray that you will reach out to those who are struggling with this transition. I know that I have some concerns and some fears about what this change will bring. I know that it won't come easy to any of us, but I also know that we can accomplish most anything that we set out to do as a family. I've shared my concerns with some people here, and the first response I received was not to worry, and that I could come to them about anything, and I would be supported in any way that was needed. It was a simple answer and an easy one to say, but held such truth and love that it is undeniable to me that I can put my trust in it and in this family. To me, this is one of the greatest things about being a part of this church. It has become my family, and I am so overjoyed that I listened when God called me here. As we journey through some hard days to come, continue to listen for Jesus' call. There will be things that each of us are going to be called to do. There will be things that we as a faith community will be called to do. And even while we wade through the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea, we must remember that Jesus is still calling. Amen.